I want to welcome everyone tonight to Rock Solid Faith. Pastor Spencer's not able to be here tonight, so he asked me to fill in. And I know you're not on chapter 10. You're on chapter 7 or 8, I believe. But the information that's in like chapter 7 and 8 and 9 are information and teaching and understanding that really are things of God that require great anointing. And so I think Pastor Spencer would really like to be able to share those with you, because the anointing comes from where? From the head down. Okay, so his teaching is so anointed. So we're skipping ahead to chapter 10 for prayer. Okay, and I haven't seen the new book, so I'm in the old book. So I hope we can all keep up together. So we're on page 131. Okay? Okay. Pastor devoted a whole chapter to prayer, because prayer is a very key tool in our arsenal as born-again believers. As workmen in Christ, if we're out there and we have to do a job and we need a hammer, but all we have is a screwdriver, then we're in deep trouble. And if we need a drill and all we have is a wrench, we're in deep trouble. So God has given us, he has done everything for us and provided everything we need to be able to live victoriously as sons and daughters of the Most High King. And so he has given us this arsenal of tools that we can use. And in prayer, prayer is one of them. So many people don't understand much with prayer only because they really have not had teaching. So that's why pastors felt this is an important chapter. And there are different kinds of prayer, so we're going to be going into those tonight, the different types of prayer. And so we're going to start. And I'm going to just open us in prayer if I can. It's a good thing. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that, first of all, we can worship in an open forum. We can teach, we can share the truths of your word without fear of reprisal, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our understanding tonight, open our minds, expand our awareness and our consciousness of your plan and of your purpose for our lives, and of your plan and purposes in prayer and in the other tools that you have provided for us, that we can live victorious lives to fill your plan and fulfill your plan and purpose for each of us in our lives, Lord. And we just thank you so much. We pray for your anointing, oh God. We welcome you here. And we thank you again for the word that you've left with us, the living, living word of God. And we give you praise and we give you thanks tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so that is our arsenal. Why is it that we pray? We pray what? To get an answer. There are things in our lives that we need, people that we're praying for, ourselves that we're praying for, situations that we're praying for. So we pray because we want to be able to have an answer. And we need to talk about what prayer is not. One of the things that prayer is not, okay, is pompous and formal. You may have heard people praying in a very formal way. And if Pastor were here tonight, he would do this jowl thing. I'm sure most of us have heard him. This, you know, I can't do that. But just to pray pompously does not mean you are a better prayer, okay? It's really not the form of the prayer. It's the sincerity of our heart. God is just looking for humility and sincerity and for us to be honest with him about our desires and our needs. It's very, very simple. So if we hear other people praying pompously, what God does not want is for us to feel somehow either intimidated or inferior. You know, I'm growing up, so many times I've heard people pray and I thought, wow, I wish I could pray that way. Probably you've heard people pray with these deep booming voices and these magnanimous words and 10 syllable words, that type of thing. You know, well, we're not Charles Heston. What's his name? Charles? Yes, Charles Heston. Okay. Charles Heston? Charlton. Okay. We're not that person either. We may have very small voices, like me. So it doesn't matter how big our voice is. It doesn't matter if we pray in repetition. God doesn't need us to pray in repetition because he hears us the first time. And sometimes people feel they're being heard more if they pray the same thing over, 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 okay? And that's not necessary in God, okay? Sometimes people actually chant. That is not necessary. Sometimes people yell. They actually feel that they need to yell. I've been in prayer meetings where groups of people have prayed all at the same time, and that was the format of that particular prayer meeting. So everyone was praying at the top of their lungs and yelling, you know. God isn't deaf, and he hears us very, very clearly. He often speaks himself in what? A very quiet, still voice, okay? So we just need to be aware of those things. Sometimes people pray in a spooky, what Pastor calls spooky. It's like, oh, Heavenly Father, listen now to your suffering servants. You know, they do this thing that they put on, you know. And we don't need to do that either. We just should be speaking normally, you know, like I would speak to Brittany, or as we would speak to a friend, because that is who God is to us. He is Lord and God and Creator, but he also is our best friend, and he wants to grow closer to us in friendship. And that's one of the very positive results of prayer in our lives. Okay. All types of prayer must come from the one major truth that it's from our heart and from a sincere heart. We need to just share our feelings and our desires with God. That's what he's asking. And before we get into the types of prayer, I just wanted to mention something about some of the hindrances that we can experience in prayer. Because knowing the types of prayer don't help if we're having difficulty coming into a relationship with God or feeling comfortable with God to pray. Sometimes things from our past, maybe relationship with our father. We have maybe had a father who was very much an authoritarian or was maybe hard on us. Maybe we didn't have a father. Maybe we had a father who was there physically, but emotionally, he was nowhere to be found. He was no source of support. So it may be hard for some people because of that experience to be able to come and really pray to God the Father, having a sense that God the Father loves us, that God, we can trust him, that he's hearing us, and that he wants to answer our prayers. So God wants to help us with those things. And if we're having a hindrance, again, talk to God about it, just like you talk to your friend, and explain, Lord, there's just something between us. You know, there's just something, and I don't want it there. I know you don't want it there. You want an openness between yourself and between myself. Help me, Lord. Show me what it is. Show me how to pray and how to get rid of that. Another thing is, sometimes we've had a really rough day. The kids may not have wanted to get on the bus for school. We may have yelled at them. The kids may have left things at home that then we had to jump in the car and take to them at school. We may have had an argument with our hubby. Things may be going wrong. I'm sorry. We may have lost our temper with people. And so the time when we're having a rough day is the very time that we need to actually be close to God and talking to God and praying to God. But many times we may feel like, oh, I'm such a failure. God does not want to hear. And we may be so disappointed in ourselves that it's hard to come and approach God. But again, we need to realize that no matter how the day has been, we can stand still and we can say, Lord God, you know, I come to you now, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If there's things we need to make right with other people, we need to do that on a horizontal level. If there are things we need to ask God's forgiveness for, we need to do that and ask forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of Jesus. Because the only way we can approach God and the only way we can come into his presence is not by our own works or our own merit, but only through the blood of Jesus. And the word of God says we actually can put on the robes of righteousness of Christ Jesus. It's his righteousness that we wear when we approach God and come into his presence. So if we've had a rough day and we feel like we've failed, God is like, come to me. That's the time he's calling. If your child has had a rough day and they're crying and they're having temper tantrums and stuff, do you want to say to that child, leave me alone, go away? No, you want that child to come to you. You want to hug them and hold them and help them to heal and feel whole again. encourage them, stand them back up on their feet and say, you go out there and you can do it. So that's what God wants to do with us. So we need to not allow things in our own lives to come between us and God because of condemnation or our own disappointment in ourselves. So I think that's mainly the things that would come between us possibly to try to prevent us from coming into that type of relationship with God. And again, God is into kinship. And later on, we're going to be talking and reading a prayer out of John 17, where the kinship of God, he sees us not as a fallen creation. He sees us as his kin, his family. We have the same DNA. There is a unity and a union in our very beings with the being of God. That's what he wants for us. We are one with him, a unity and a family. And so when we're in prayer, we can really come into that relationship. In sign language, there's a sign for the presence of God. And in sign language, an open hand like this represents a face. So if you were saying, I met with my friend face to face, this would be face to face. That's how you do it, face to face. So when we're talking about the presence of God in sign language, this would be your right hand, meaning God's right arm of power and strength. This would be God's face here in heaven. This would be our face here in earth. And the presence would be where God is lifting us up and God is coming down and meeting with us face to face. So this is the presence of God. And that's what God wants us to do. And we can pray in our heads while we're driving the car, or it's a busy day at work, or whatever's going on around us. We don't necessarily need to speak the prayers. We can think the prayers and come into God's presence when we do that. We carry him with us, so he's always available to us. Okay, let's talk about, okay, not only is prayer coming from the heart, but there are different positions that we can take physically when we pray. Okay, one of the positions is kneeling. Okay, and Psalm 95:6 says, oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Ephesians 3:14 through 17 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, so again, sometimes it's laying prostrate. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he laid down prostrate when he was praying to his Father. And that's Matthew 26:39. It says, Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Okay. So when we pray, again, it's the position of our body is not the issue. We can be seated, we can be standing, we can be bowing, we can be lying down. The important thing is what? Our heart. Yep, it's our heart. And our sincerity and humility before God, just coming to him. That is what is important. Not all of what's going on around us, how we're dressed, how we're speaking. Okay, that's what's important. Yes, he is faithful God. Prayer is also communication. If we were just meeting someone for the first time, we may have heard things about them, but we don't yet know them. And of course, it takes a while to get to know people. It's the same with God. We may have heard things about God, but God wants us to come into that close relationship so that it's not that we just know about him, but we truly know him personally, individually, in an interactive relationship. If we speak to God, he will literally speak back to us. And things we can pray, we can ask God to fine-tune our hearing. Give us ears to hear that we can hear him more clearly. Because he wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear what he's saying to us. Okay. Let's see. He wants us to share with him as well. And he wants us to share when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're mad, when we're frustrated, when we're confused. And many times we may be trying to live up to and your own image of being a, quote, mature Christian. and we may be really frustrated with what's going on. Sometimes in different seasons of our life, it's a new season. We're not always sure what God is doing in that season. So we're praying about those things. There's frustration. And we certainly don't want to go to God and make it sound as if we're saying, God, what are you doing? You know, are you crazy? Because we would never say that. No. But at the same time, sometimes we can be honestly frustrated. Do you think God knows that? Yes. Okay. If we are someone who has a heart toward God and a love toward God and a desire to walk in His way for our lives, we don't need to fear being frustrated. We don't need to fear coming to Him and looking less than, quote, mature. Again, it's that honesty, that genuineness, that sincerity of coming before Him and saying, God, I'm just clueless. I just don't understand all this, Lord. Help me understand. Help me. And He will. He will. He will send people to you. He will speak with you. He will show you in many, many different ways. Okay. So, okay. In building the friendship with Christ, okay, John 15:15 says where Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So God definitely wants to be a friend to us. In James 2:23, the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So we know in scriptures that the friendship with God is valued for him. And we are now, we have the privilege of belonging to his family, of being invited, of being adopted in. And when we're adopted in, someone who's adopted in the Jewish culture, the parents can never disadopt or disallow the adoption. A Jewish parent can disallow a naturally born child. They can consider them dead and expel them from the family, but not a child who's adopted. And we are adopted, all of us, into the body of Christ if we are born again. Okay. How awesome is that? It's just amazing. Okay. God wants to have relationship with us. And in order for that to grow, not only do we need to spend time with him in prayer, but we also need to really get to know his word. So kudos to everyone who's here tonight to learn the word of God about prayer. And also we need to come to the house of God. There's so much opportunity here. Come to the services, be in the corporate anointing. The word of God says to not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. We need to come together. We are family. We are one. There's a bond of unity. And God is so speaking that all over the world today, that the church of God, the body of Christ, needs to come together in unity. There's an encouraging, a building up, a lifting in that. We also have the small groups that are available. And those are important too, where you really get to know people. You really get to share who you really are, who they are, get to know them and be encouraged and share their, they share their knowledge, you share your knowledge, and you're both edified. So it's a wonderful thing, wonderful things that we have available. We have early morning prayer, okay, at 6:15 every day. And the second and third Tuesdays of the month, there's an early, early morning prayer that starts at 5. And there's teaching on that. It's, we have so many opportunities here to be taught, to be edified. And so God just wants us to reach out as he's leading us and to take part in those things. Okay. A special kind of prayer is called supplication. And supplication is a prayer which is very earnest, it's humble, and it's very detailed. It is a detailed, very, very specific kind of prayer. Some prayers we pray aren't detailed and don't need to be, but supplication does. Okay. Many Christians have been taught that you just really don't need to pray much and that God loves you and he's just going to give you what you need. And so if you need something new, if you need a change in your life, you just kind of go, okay, God, just drop it down. Just whatever. I'll just, you know. But God's word is telling us not to do that. We need to trust him. But God's word is saying that God has given us the charge to pray a detailed prayer. Okay. And there's some examples we're going to give later on. because he likes us to ask him for things. He likes, as a parent, don't you like it when your children ask you for things, you know, and say, you know, I really want this specific blouse, this specific whatever, and they have a faith and a confidence that you're going to get that for them. And doesn't that make you feel good as a parent, that the child loves you in that way and trusts you in that way? It's the same with God. With God, that you would specifically say that, and that God is knowing, wow, she really knows I love her, and that I'm really going to do this in her life. Okay, so God is detailed. We can see by nature all around us, the leaves on the trees, so many details. Acts 1:14 said, all these continue with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So there were prayers and there were supplications, okay? Ephesians 6:18 is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Again, specific prayers, detailed prayers. Again, Pastor is encouraging us here, be a seeker. Be a seeker. Be one who is going out and looking to see what God has for you and going after it. He preached several weeks ago about pushing and moving forward, not just being complacent, not just being passive, but really running after the things of God. And that is what God is calling us to do. He wants us to be wholehearted in our love, wholehearted in our trust. Excuse me. We can't really run after something if we don't really trust that the outcome will be good. And certainly we know that our God is a good, good God, and we can trust in that goodness to run wholeheartedly after him. Okay. Pastor tells a story about a stove. There was a lady in the church, and so I hope that I tell this story correctly. If not, forgive me. It's not intentionally incorrect. Okay. There was a lady who had a stove, and the stove broke down, and she wanted a new stove. So she said, God, please get me a new stove. And she just trusted whatever God would give her. Well, her husband knew that she needed a new stove. So he was out driving one day, and someone had put a very old, kind of an ugly mustard-colored stove out on the curb for the junk guy, you know. So the husband was good with tinkering, and so he checked it. And he saw it would work. So he picked up this old stove and brought it home and hooked it up for her. So she came home and here this really old mustard-colored, not very attractive stove was there. And it was working, you know. But she was like, oh, my goodness. And so she realized that she should have asked more specifically. So she prayed to God, and her father came. And he came into the house, and he saw this really old, ugly stove. And he said, aw, honey, you know. And, of course, he had not offered before to buy her a new stove. But when he saw that stove and stuff, God moved on his heart. God moved on his heart. He said, honey, he says, you go out, you pick out any stove you want. It doesn't matter how expensive. I'll buy it for you. So she got that. But it really would have helped in the beginning if she had given some specifics to her prayer, but God was faithful to her. So be specific, be detailed in your prayers. Yeah, okay. And Pastor loves to tell about his own children who give him lists of things. Is Pastor Cody here? No. Anyway, lists of things for Christmas and specifics. So they are very, thank you so much. You're such a, is she a sweetheart? Yeah. Yes, she is. We love you, Pastor Jade. Aw, cool. Well, there's Pastor Cody back there. So his children, Pastor Spencer's children, know how to use supplication. They're good at that. Okay. Okay, the next type of prayer is intercession. And it's very different than supplication. Intercession is standing in the gap in prayer between God and a person who has provoked judgment upon themselves. You realize we can provoke God's judgment upon ourselves. I don't know if any of you ever have a family member, and I just want to see hands. I have. I've had two family members who lived in such a way and who acted in such a way and did certain things that I was really concerned for them about God's judgment. Can I just see hands? You don't have to give any. Okay. It happens. Yep. Look at the hands. More than half the people here. Okay. God is faithful. So we need to be those who will stand in the gap for the people we know, okay, who may be invoking God's judgment upon them. So he's calling us to that. We need to stand in the gap between God and the person who's provoked this judgment. Genesis 18, 23, 33 says, Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also just destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that are in the city? They're talking about Sodom. You know, God was going to destroy Sodom. And so Abraham came and he stood in the gap and he advocated for Sodom and pleaded the case for the people at Sodom, even though they were really desperately wicked. It says, far be it for you, God, to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Can you imagine talking to God that way? Do we talk to God that way? Oh, I know. But it's in the Word. I don't know. Some of these things just provoke me to pray and think about them. Okay. Anyway, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And God does do right. So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place of Sodom for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I am but dust and ashes, and I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Okay. Suppose there were five less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for the lack of five? And he says, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. And so Abraham goes on down and he gets him down to 10 people. And the Lord God says, okay, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10 people. Okay. And so Abraham successfully advocated for Sodom and for Gomorrah. But God did eventually destroy those cities. But Abraham bought them time and time to repent. But the city did not repent. So that is standing in the gap. In Psalm 106, this is one with Moses, 19 through 23, the children of Israel had made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molded image of this calf. Okay, thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who'd done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before God in the breach to turn away God's wrath, lest he destroy them. So Moses interceded for the people of Israel, and God turned his wrath away from them because God just wanted to start anew again. He was really upset with the children of Israel at that point in time. Also, there's a scripture in Joel as well. So we need to realize that those of us who stand in the gap, who are called to stand in the gap, it is something in prayer when God calls you to, you may find yourself really doing major intercession. And when that spirit comes on you to intercede, you need to pray and pray and pray until that burden or heaviness lifts. And then you know that you have prayed through, okay? So we are called, though, as all believers, to declare God's justice and that his truth will prevail in our lives, in our families, in our region, in the world. Some people are called to really stand in the gap for nations. There are many different levels of prayer that God will call us to. We can raise up a prayer shield for protection for ourselves, our families, again, for our leaders, for our nation. We are ordered by God to pray for our leaders. So if we have bosses at work that maybe are contentious or difficult, God still wants us to pray for them, pray blessing on them. You know, you guys are laughing back there. Okay. That's not always easy to do, but we need to forgive. We need to walk in forgiveness. How can we win other people to the Lord if we allow ourselves to fall into a conflict, a situation of conflict where we are unforgiving or we are judgmental or we are in rebellion against the authority that is established, like at the workplace? And we need to really walk carefully before God, walk in forgiveness, do what is being asked of us, work in excellence to the Lord. May all of our work and all that we do and say be in excellence to the Lord. And that's one of the ways of winning the lost. That's how I got saved, was by a coworker who did not get involved in all that. And when this one other coworker who was the instigator for many, many things for myself and the others around me, we've been hurt over and over again. And this one lady who looked like she was about this high, little Campbell soup lady, red-haired lady, you know, awesome one. Her name was Irene Morse, and she loved on this woman. And she loved her, and she blessed her. And eventually this woman came back to the Lord. And through Irene's witness, I came to see the reality of God in the life of somebody. I didn't even believe in God. But through what she went through, that was real to me. And this lady who was a perpetrator ended up through Irene's love, well, through God's love through Irene, getting right. She ended up being a backslidden Christian, which, I mean, I didn't know anything about. I didn't realize that. Neither did Irene at the time. So our behavior and the way we choose to love people and honor those in authority over us can really win other people to the Lord. And it honors God. It honors God. That's just the basic truth of that. Okay. I want to read John 17. This just is just the most amazing thing for us, for me anyway. It's verse 20 through 23. And this is, Christ was getting, just this is just before Jesus got arrested. Okay. And he's praying to God. And he made the prayer of intercession for us. He interceded for us to God the Father. Okay. And this talks about kinship. This is how God sees us in kinship. Listen to the unity and the oneness that is in these verses. Okay. This is Jesus praying. Okay. I do not pray for these alone, meaning his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they may all be as one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are, I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Okay. And so then it goes on from there. Yeah, it's John chapter 17, and it's verses 20 through 23. So, and that's his intercession for us as believers. Okay, next we have is a prayer of faith. We need to, when we pray, not have doubt. We need to pray the word of God. Whenever we see a situation, we need to be sure that we are really praying God's will and not just what we think is the right course of action. We need to not rely on our own wisdom, but God's word. And when we pray his word, there's no way that we can pray amiss with that. Okay. We need to trust, okay, when we voice our petition and that the answer is in route to us when we voice our petition. Faith is, in Hebrews 11:1, it's the assurance or the confirmation or a title deed of things that we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to our senses. That's from the Amplified Bible. Faith is believing that you have something before you can see it manifested in the natural realm. Again, we've heard from Pastor many times, God is not moved by need, circumstances, or goodwill. God is moved by faith. Okay, so it's not, I believe it when I see it, or I believe it when I completely understand it. How many of us can understand all the ways of God? No, we can't. His ways are far above ours. We need to not have faith in faith. I'm okay because I have faith in faith. No, we have faith in a divine creator who loves us with his heart. That's who our faith is in. Okay, our faith should be that God said it and his word is true, no matter what circumstances may declare. And faith can be measured. There's some people say, oh, ye of little faith, oh, ye of great faith. The disciples prayed to increase our faith. We're each given a measure of faith when we're first saved, but as we grow, that faith can be increased. Okay. When we trust put our faith in God, our faith can begin to mature. Faith coupled with the word brings the answer through prayer. So it's not just praying the word that brings answer. It's coupling the word with our faith in who God is and that what he says is true and that he will perform what he says he will do. Faith is not some mysterious thing. It's really something that's very concrete. And if we trust God that what he says is true and he'll do what he says he will is in his word, that is faith. Okay, so John 10:10 says, a thief does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ Jesus came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. We often think the devil is just trying to steal everything from us. Our job, money, house, children, health, our soul. But what he's really after is what? Faith. Yep, he's after our faith. Okay. When we pray the prayer of faith, we're receiving the answer before we can actually see it appear on the planet. That means we don't have to constantly pray for it. We can pray one time. As long as the prayer does not have something to do with a person's will, personal free will, we can pray once and leave it in the hands of God, still believing. Because you can pray something and you can maintain that within your heart. You know what I mean? You don't have to keep saying it. You just know and it's there and you're just waiting for the answer to come. If you're praying something and it has to do with someone's free will, that is something you will need to pray again and again because the person's will is involved with that. But like a financial blessing, healing, things like that, do not involve a person's will. So we can pray once and expect the answer and know that the answer is coming. We need to be not shaken by circumstances, but keep the faith. Okay. Matthew 21:19, Jesus said, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what is done to the fig tree, okay, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And Jesus had cursed the fig tree and it was dead by the next day. So that was what that was referring to. So we need to just believe that. Sometimes with healing, we can pray and believe for healing. And sometimes the manifestation of that illness or disease is still there. We stand on it, believing it. That's happened with Pastor Rhonda with her cure of cancer. She's cured. The tests are absolutely clean and clear. There was another lady that Pastor shared about who had tests done, and she knew she was healed, and she was confessing that, but she didn't get the results of those tests. She had other tests that confirmed the disease. She was retested, as was Pastor Rhonda, and she knew she was healed, and the test for that second test after she had been healed didn't come back for 8 days. She still had symptoms of that disease, but those tests showed she was absolutely, totally, 100% healed. So sometimes the enemy wants to contend with that, and it's a deception. It's a deception, and we need to know he's the father of lies. So we need to not be shaken by circumstances or what we see. Another kind of prayer is power of attorney. That's to act on the behalf of another. We can make decisions for someone else if you're that person. And it has all to do with whose name is backing an account. Power of attorney. Okay, that person can sign checks for people. They can make decisions for people if they have power of attorney. Pastor says if he goes into a billionaire's bank and walks in and says, I'd like $1 million from Joe Schmo's account. And Joe Schmo's a billionaire. And the bank teller says, well, do you have anything with a signature on it? And he'll say, no. Well, the teller will say, nope, sorry, I can't give you anything unless you have Joe Schmo's signature. So Pastor pulls out a check with Joe Schmo's signature on it for $1 million. The teller would give him $1 million in cash. You have to wonder how much that would be in volume. You ever think of that? Anyway, that would be awesome. Okay, so it's the signature. Joe Schmo, it's the signature and the power of attorney. Authority, that's the authority. It's the power of attorney, that signature, authority. It's like being passed like a baton in a relay race. God the Father exercised authority on the earth. He passed that authority to Jesus Christ. Sorry. So that Jesus Christ, when he lived here on the earth, I'm so sorry. Okay. Gave her water of the Spirit. We're healed in Jesus' name. Okay. So if that authority was passed on to Jesus Christ. And so Jesus walked in that full authority when he was on the earth. And then he told everyone, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to send you another comforter. And so he sent God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus passed that baton of God the Father's authority to us. So that we now can do everything in the name of Jesus that Jesus did here. And in fact, Jesus says we can do greater, not that the content and the quality of the work is greater, of the miracle is greater, but that because there's so many of us, so many more miracles will be done, so many more healings will be done in the name of Jesus. That's baton. Okay, he has given us all authority through his name. Okay, there's a prayer of agreement. Okay, it's a powerful truth that if people agree together, they can generate an amazing energy to accomplish a goal. Okay, the devil hates this. He hates it when people get together. Okay, he strives to the best of his ability to cause division. Okay, and he always wants to make separation. And that's the goal of the devil, to try to make us feel like we are separated. In the body here, if he can, he will create offenses. He'll create hurt feelings. He will create people feeling separated and isolated. There's actually a demonic spirit that's called a spirit of isolation that makes people feel like, oh, I'm different, or I'm, you know, and can just nasty things. So, but again, God has given us all the tools for that. We can pray against that and get rid of that spirit of isolation. We can pray against spirits of division. And we can pray in that spirit of unity. There's so many unities in God. We have one Lord and one faith, one spirit. And so that is what God's will for us is. So we need to be praying those things. Whenever people come together with one mind and purpose, results are assured. Like on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:1-4 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, again, it was that one accord that enabled God to pour out his Spirit upon them. We just passed Pentecost Sunday, you know, just the observance of that. And again, there are many other instances in Acts, especially where they talk about people breaking bread together and going daily with one accord to the temple, breaking bread house to house, eating food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And God then added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay. Whenever the children of God move in oneness or agreement, they accomplish what they desire. So you have to know the enemy just fights against that. So we, knowing his wiles, need to stand against that. And if we see someone who is being taken in by the enemy and being offended, we can go to that person and love on them and say, you know, that really, when Shirley talked to you, I don't think that's what she meant at all, you know. Why don't you sit down with her and talk to her and work it out, you know, because you're sisters in Christ. I mean, we can help be peacemakers by encouraging people to work out differences in their lives. There are times not to meddle and get in the middle, but at the same time, I think there are opportunities that God gives us where we can try to help facilitate healing of just things that are misunderstandings. Most of the times when we're offended, no one intended that offense to us. Most of the times that offense is just caused by other things, which can be easily resolved. Okay. Praise and worship is actually a part of prayer, okay? And praise is thanking God for what he's done, and worship is recognizing God for who he is. And they are actually a massive part of prayer. Psalm 104 says to enter God's gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, that we should be thankful to God and to bless his name. Okay, it means that as we praise and worship our Father, we become more aware and focused on him rather than things in the world. Sometimes it's the praise and worship can really help us come into that place of prayer. Not that we have to have praise and worship first, but it can really help, you know. So, and I know people who pray, and in the middle of their praying, they go into praise, they go into worship, and they go back into prayer, and they go in and out, and they just flow in the Spirit. They just flow in the Spirit. You know, our prayers don't need to be segmented. I mean, God is flowing and moving, and we can flow and move with him. Oh, I feel anointing on that. Okay, so God is so awesome. Okay. Praise stirs faith, and it reminds ourselves what God has already accomplished and of his very nature and of God's character. Okay. As the Spirit then rises within us in faith and adoration for our Father God, for our Papa God. Paul and Silas, when they were in jail, do you remember that? They were in stocks. They'd been beaten. They sang praises, and what happened? God brought an earthquake and not only broke off their bonds and chains and broke open the stocks, but broke off the bonds and chains of every single person in the prison. And the jailer was actually jumped out. And he said, oh, my goodness. And he went to kill himself because he knew he was going to be killed by the authorities because he thought all the prisoners had fled, you know. And so Paul said, well, we're here. We're here, you know, don't. And this man's whole family got saved. God used that. Not only just, and then, anyway, God resolved the whole thing after that. It's amazing what God did through that. And so God loves to do miraculous things. There's a praying in the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit prays through us, okay, and when we don't know what to pray, that's called praying in the Spirit. And it's really praying the perfect will of God because our own minds are not part of that because our own prayer language we don't understand. So that's a blessing. How many agree with that? That is a blessing not to know. You know, and how perfect that prayer is when we pray to God in the prayer language and we can sense that connect. How many sense that connect? Not that we're into feelings, you know, when you really connect in that way, that's really awesome. There's a story, which is a wonderful story. A woman was praying in her upstairs apartment and she got really excited in her praying and very intense. She was praying in tongues and the Spirit of God placed a burden on her. And she began to intercede in tongues. She didn't know what for, but she was interceding. The woman from downstairs was from Sicily. And the woman downstairs ran upstairs and knocked on her door. And when this lady came to the door and apologized for being loud and disturbing, the lady from downstairs from Sicily said, no, you don't understand. Where did you learn Italian? She'd been praying in perfect Italian. She said, because you were speaking perfect Sicilian Italian about a boy drowning off the coast of Italy. Okay, so here she was praying. She didn't even know what she was praying for. But God moved on her to pray, and she did. And she was praying for the life of this boy who was drowning. And I believe that boy was saved. I believe that boy did not drown. And what a witness and testimony of God and the faithfulness of God, the power of God to that lady downstairs. So God is amazing in what he does. But it also says to us we need to be quick to obey. How many of us wish we were more quick to obey more often? Okay, we do. Because we don't know many times. And yet we have such a privilege, but it's also a responsibility to God. When he moves on us to pray for someone, when he brings someone to our mind, there's a reason. There's a reason. We might not know. We don't need to pray for half an hour. But if we're driving the car and the Lord brings Bill to mind, we just say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I pray for Bill. I pray whatever you feel led to pray, you know, just for his safety, for salvation, for whatever's going on in his life. You pray for that. And cool. We're the army of God. We are who he has now on this earth. Okay. And there are two different types of tongues. The tongues of men and the tongues of angels. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. We can pray in our earthly language, like English, Spanish, or we can pray in the language of the heavens, which would be tongues. OK, Okay, so we can do that. And we each know when we do pray in tongues, we are praying divine secrets to God, you know. And I've heard when we pray in tongues, there's an edifying of ourselves when we pray in tongues. But there's more than that, too, because when we pray in tongues, we can talk to God in tongues. I mean, we can pray to God in tongues. You know, it isn't just praying for someone else. And there's just a connecting, you know, we can feel with the Spirit in us, communicating with God the Father and with Jesus as we pray in our prayer language to them as well. So God just has provided us with so many tools. If you're interested in any books on specific prayers, there is a small red book that Pastor Andrea had given out to many of us years ago. I don't know if she still has some, but it's just called Prayers, and it's a compiled grouping of prayers that are really specific, really detailed. Are they good prayers, Melissa? Yeah, it's a fantastic, awesome book, you know. And I've got the address here. It's www.christianword.org. Okay. And it's 428 Southland Drive in Lexington, Kentucky. It's 40503. And you can get that from me later if you want it. There's also Prayer Passport to Crush Oppression, and that's by Dr. Daniel Olukoya, which I may not be pronouncing. And that's available like at the local Walmart and some of the local stores. They sell that. And that gives specific prayers in it too, which are aimed much more at praying against like diseases and against demonic attacks on us. Then there's The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. And that also is a very powerful book. So that's it. That's our whirlwind on prayer. And we're through 6 minutes early. I'm sorry. Okay. Do anybody have, like, probably don't want to open it up to questions. You can ask Pastor Spencer the questions. Okay. I don't want to do that. I don't feel capable for that. So I just want to encourage us. God, like in the John 17 chapter, God wants us to be one with Him. He's one with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We also are one in Him. We have the fullness of the Godhead, and we are kin to God. And when we pray, we're closer in that. As we come to know God more, as we come to understand His heart more. When we pray, we really sense the heart of God for people, the heart of God for situations and circumstances. And it develops relationship. It develops our love with Him. It develops our trust in that we know His goodness. We know His heart. In this world that needs so much love, there's so much darkness. He is the only light, the only true light. His word is the only truth. So just, we have different kinds of prayer that do different things, accomplish different things. And when we pray what? In faith. Because the word of God without faith is null and void, okay? Well, the word of God has its own power, but when we pray our prayer, we need to be praying in faith the words of the word of God. Did I make that clear? Because the word of God is powerful in and of itself. So, but we can do that, just trusting in God and who He is, His goodness, that He is truth. He is faithful. He agrees with Himself and with His word and with His actions. All those three things always agree. You never find any disagreement. He's 100% truth. 100%, there's a word, I don't know. 100% congruent. He's congruent with Himself. He agrees with Himself 100% of the time. Okay, so we're going to end. Father God, we thank You so much that we can pray, that You've given prayer as a tool, the different kinds of prayers, that, Lord, You want us to be able to live successfully. You want us to be able to grow closer in knowing You in a relationship. We thank You that the relationship is two-way and not just one-way, oh God. We thank You that we don't have to be something special or have some ability or some intelligence or something other than just being who we are to be welcomed by You into Your presence, that you welcome us because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that there's no barrier, Lord, between you and us that can keep us from you, Lord, that your word, your blood have done away with anything that would prevent us from coming into that secret place of sitting at your feet, Lord, just sitting at your feet and communing with you, with just being with you, Lord. And we thank you, oh God, we praise you so much. In the name of Jesus, amen.